Good morning again, my friends. This is David Salt and Beholding His Glory. And yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, last week I gave you all some homework, and this was to study. That's right, I said study and not just read two sets of scriptures so that we could move forward in our understanding of what the anointing is, and maybe even more important, what the anointing is not. My friend, be not deceived by folks who say they will give you an anointing, that's in quotation, from God, if you give them money or become a partner with them. Oh no, they lie, and they are thieves. My friend, mind your heart and mind your wallet. Stay in the Word of God, and you will not be seduced. So, the first set of verses I asked you to look at last week was from Romans 8, 9 through 11. Here we go, ready? But be ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so, be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ, and that will be God the Father, from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Romans 8, 9 through 11. And the second set was actually only one verse, and that was found in John 14, 23. Here, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, and that would be all three, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, will come unto him and make our abode with him. Wow, John 14, 23. For these verses we see that Christ in us is exactly the same thing as the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit of Christ in us. And we see that Jesus even states that the Father himself will indwell us as well. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, my friend, but that makes me excited to know that the Father, God Almighty, will make his abode in us. Now, all of this began in Acts 2. Jesus told the disciples that they would be baptized not in the Holy Spirit, but with the Holy Spirit. And that happened in Acts 2. Thus the disciples were not indwelt with the Holy Spirit before Acts 2. They were not even born again before Acts 2. They were merely saved under the old covenant. But what this all leads to is the fact that if none of these things happened before Acts 2, then they did happen in Acts 2. Thus, Acts 2 was not a second experience, but the one and only experience God has for us all. The couple of instances in Acts where people seem to have salvation but still needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit is easy to resolve. These people were essentially in the same condition as the apostles were in Acts 2. They were saved under the Old Testament or under John's baptism, but they were not yet indwelt by Christ through the Holy Spirit. What we read in Acts 2 is them receiving that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, again, my friend, is not a second blessing or a second experience added on to our salvation. Oh no, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is Christ received for salvation in a once and for all experience. Let me say that again. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is Christ received for salvation in a one and for all experience. Included are all of the gifts and all of the power to become witnesses for Christ as we come under the Lordship. Now, once we understand that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make Christ our Lord and to make us witnesses unto him and to all of this that receive as salvation, and this once and for all experience is the anointing, then it sets things correctly into order. At this point, we are able to see that there are no special anointed ones. Let me say that again. There are no special anointed ones. There is no one who can claim to have it, the anointing, and a mandate that you come to them to get it. Oh, no. The anointing is not an it. The anointing, it is Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The anointing is Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. And all believers, despite variations in gifts and functions, have that one and only anointing. To further make my point clear, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 20 through 22, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." That was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. So now we have learned the anointing is not a thing or a power that God gives us to do things, even for him, separate from the lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh no, the power is a person, Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The power of God is a person, Jesus Christ. Wow. So any power we have is because of Christ being in us. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, Brother Paul tells us in the church at Corinth, "But unto them which are called, both Jew and Gentile, Christ, power of God." Wow, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. In Ephesians, Paul tells us again in the church at Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Now that's the L-O-R-D, that's a little L-O-R-D, which means Jesus, and not a big L-O-R-D, which would mean God. "But be strong in the power of his might," that's L-O-R-D, Jesus's, Ephesians 6:10. Need more proof? Again, Brother Paul, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power that may be of God and not of us." 2 Corinthians 4:7. But you would say, are we not supposed to do things for God in the power of the Holy Spirit? Won't Christ work in us, through us, in the power? Sure he will. But how? How does this power come to work through us from Christ? There's only one way, my friend. If we become weak. In 1 Corinthians 1 through 18, Paul tells us, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:18. One more. Again, Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he," that is God, "unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength," that's God's strength in us, "is made perfect," mature, or virtuous, "in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Wow. "Would I rather glory in my infirmities," or my sicknesses, or my failures, or my coming short of God's glory, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now, Christians and some believers I know do not want to hear this, but God is not going to hand anyone, you know, a thing called power and let them loose to do things in the church or in the world for him. The only way we can be trusted with the power at all is if we are first brought into the weaknesses through the work of the cross in our life. Of course, this is just another way of saying we must come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. My friend, the message of the Bible is not God has an Easter basket full of blessings for us. Oh, no. You know, or there's a devil under every rock. Oh, no. The message of the Bible, chiefly in the New Testament, is the message of the cross, how Jesus was sacrificed on a wooden beam for our sin and made a way to for us to be brought back into fellowship with God and those who love God. Over the Christmas season, we celebrate the birth of Christ, little Jesus in a manger, but that is not the beauty of Christmas. Yes, Jesus came and lived his life, but and the death of Christ signaled an end to the angry God of the Old Testament. In Luke 2:14, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Luke 2:14. God's anger was satisfied, my friend, in the death of Jesus and his sacrifice. now towards men on earth, peace and goodwill. Wow. More next week on the anointing. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have a tremendous week and that the glory of God can rest within you all the days of your life. But that will only happen when you come up under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when Christ in you can be this hope of glory. God bless, and we will talk to you all next week. Amen.